Ray, tell me you got something.
Yeah, I do.
Ray Kurzig is a good friend of mine and a completely emotionless robot. I mean that in the best way. As an independent analyst, he's the most efficient and resourceful researcher I know. That's why I'd sicked him on this story a few days earlier. I needed to debunk the claims of Ellie's friend Katrina. He was in the area on business, so he took the time to come down and meet with me at my home office.
So Katrina told me that John died at 6 years old.
Right.
And his parents, who supposedly died in a rebel prison, were still alive years later.
Right.
No, this woman's ruining my story, Ray. Tell me why she's lying.
Well, she's not.
Ray had found copious financial records indicating that John's parents were not just alive past 25, 24, but working and paying their bills.
They died in 25, 24. Come on, man.
Well, sorry. Their employers and a preponderance of local merchants disagree with you. I mean, the central repositories were really thin, but you dig through enough mirrored archives, it all pops up. The records are there.
Ray swiped through document after document corroborating this. He even showed me medical insurance claims for a pediatric autoimmune specialist in 2517. Exactly when Katrina said John got sick. I was laughing, but I didn't find any of it funny. I'm Benjamin Giroux, and this is Hunt the Truth.
Continue to hold.
Oh, jeez. Come on.
Office of Naval Intelligence. Public relations.
Finally. Hey, Sully.
Tell me good things, Ben.
It was disconcerting to be talking to the ONI insignia again, but I started positive. The story was going really well. But that little data problem. The death record? It was back. I was hoping Sully would smooth it out for me.
Ben, I thought we talked about this. Glassed planets have bad records.
No, I know. I just,
Glassed
it's not
planets
just the
have
records,
bad records,
actually.
Ben. This is Colonial Journalism 101.
No, listen, Sully, if you could. People are saying...
Are you serious with this?
People
glassed
are saying...
Glassed planets
Listen,
have...
do glassed people have bad records?
Ben, are you recording right now?
Yes.
That was my cue to stop recording. The off-the-record conversation was brief. Sully asked me if I wanted to do the next interview. What he meant was, do you want to keep this job? I said yes.
Your call is over.
Well, as you can see, I've pretty much permanently stationed myself on this beach.
That was my next interview. Jacob Walker, retired Navy. He lives in a beach community way out on Castellaneta. The first thing I noticed about Walker when he answered my call was that he wasn't wearing a shirt, which made us both laugh. He explained that after 28 years of service, as far as he was concerned, it was all R&R all the time. I couldn't argue with that philosophy. He slipped on a t-shirt and I asked him about the Master Chief.
Oh, hell yeah, John. You bet your ass I remember him.
Walker's career began 3 decades ago with Naval Force Reconnaissance School at Black Sea. Little did he know, boot camp would turn out to be something he'd never forget. Walker was there alongside the young man who had become the Master Chief. The gravity of that was not lost on him.
I mean, they pushed us real hard, but John, well, he'd push us even harder, not even trying. You screwed up, you didn't know whether to be more scared of the CO or John.
At first, though, Walker was unimpressed.
Oh, no, man, I remember, I think it was the first week, there was a lot of talk. We were outside the mess tent, me and these other two jackasses getting into it, chests all puffed up and talking about being cold-blooded killers and stepping on necks, all that. I wanted to be in leadership one day. And, of course, I was 19 and jacked as hell, so, well, I figured I only had so much competition. Meanwhile, there's this quiet nobody from nowhere standing on the fringes looking at the horizon. John. Yeah, first I thought he was 20, 21. He's a big dude. Turns out he was only 16. I mean, that kid wasn't even on my radar.
Soon, though, Walker says all that machismo fell to the wayside and a real leader emerged in John.
Training exercises, whoever finished last got the brunt. I mean, last one in on a 20-mile, you're walking back while we catch a Pelican dropship. And that there's some downright lethal terrain, too. Reaches, well, it was a tough planet. But John, man, he took lead every time. A lot of risk and responsibility. Didn't have to, but, well, he did it. And then halfway in, he'd start to hang back, you know, and help the stragglers. You're injured, whatever. He'd be right there helping you out.
And then without fail, Walker says, John always made sure he came in last and took the punishment.
He made us all want to follow his lead, try harder, and help each other. I mean, we're supposed to do that, but nobody ever really wanted to until then. Anyway, we did it. But taking the hit for the group, now that was John's thing. I only challenged him for the honor once. I never made that mistake again.
Walker's in his early 50s now, but he seemed lit up with the energy of a much younger man. It seemed the will that he and the other recruits had, in a sense, borrowed from John so many years ago, was still inspiring Walker. It was remarkable. He knew John, lived with him for months. Yet to him, John still seemed to be an almost mythical character.
What he was able to do, getting back on his own like that in the pitch black, no nav equipment. Man, he was inhuman.
That kid was a monster, right? They all were.
Anthony Petrosky, a retired orbital drop shock trooper I found through Mishak Maradi. Yes, that Mishak Maradi, the truther who's been messaging me for months. And yes, I was pretty desperate for leads. We'll leave it at that. But Petrosky was definitely not on Sully's list of approved sources, so I went off-grid and contacted him through ChatterNet. Here he is, talking about his only encounter with John.
The kid was a freak.
Can you be more specific?
Yeah, I'd be happy to. You know, me and a bunch of guys were sparring in the gym one day, and there was this young kid there. I mean, I guess you could call him a kid. He was pretty jacked, you know, but his face looked 12, maybe 13.
12 or 13? After enlisting, John didn't even finish boot camp until at least 17. Petrosky had to be wrong about his age, but I let it go.
Anyway, I guess he was acting tough when one of the guys asked his name. He told him, but he kind of, you know, gave him attitude, right? So...